Time is running out for the planet Earth.
It's impervious to all voices.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
Hello, everyone, and happy April from the fellows at Geek Shall Inherit. I'm Daniel Pickett.
I'm Jason Lindsay.
It is April now.
It is, and we've put together this little podcast just for April.
It's like spring is here.
You're
wearing shorts, actually, for
I am.
The first time.
I am.
But still a jacket. It's like your torso is cold,
yeah.
But your legs need to breathe.
Well, they're actually culottes.
They're culottes?
Yes, and I wanted to wear the jacket to hide the upper portion.
I see. I wish you would hide the upper portion.
Yes. But it was that kind of day. It's been strange weather here in L.A., don't you find?
I don't think it's been that strange.
Well, it's been very overcast and kind of chilly and rainy.
In the mornings.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden it's like 80-some degrees.
Right.
It's already getting hot.
So your upper torso is ready for the morning.
Right.
And then after it burns off, yeah. And it's all party all the time.
I was just,
from the waist down.
Some activities around the house today, and I was getting a little warm, and I thought, I'll be casual. And this is, after all, an audio experience.
Right.
So...
But I still have to sit here and look at you.
I know. But, I got to look at your mug every time we do this.
Which reminds me.
My legs, these are good-looking legs.
$10 each time you should sit down to be able to sit across from this.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were charging now.
No, there's a handsome toll.
It is pretty impressive, and I like your haircut.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I got a haircut the other day.
It's very new romantic.
Hmm.
Not a lot of people can pull off the Spandau Ballet thing, but I think it's working for you.
Well, I try.
It's nice. How have you been?
I've been all right.
I feel like I haven't seen you in a week.
Well, that's the weird thing, is because we haven't seen each other in a week.
It's been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I've watched a lot of TV.
Do we have any listeners yet?
I've done my taxes.
You did, you bastard.
What?
I haven't done mine.
Oh, really?
Probably shouldn't have said that on the air, but...
Well, it's fine. You still have time.
Yeah, not much.
Maybe you should pick up an EZ form on your way home.
Well, yeah, it's just that it's a little tricky. When you work in the industry... There's all this stuff that has to get done. You have to actually sit down with somebody.
No, I know.
Because, like all the stuff that you can, the movies, the TV shows, the DVDs, all the stuff that you sort of, use.
I take that back. I have put together and compiled all my information. I haven't sat down with my guy yet.
Oh, okay. So you haven't done it either. So we're in the same boat.
No, I've done some of it. No,
I could get mine done before you.
That's possible.
You never know.
Yeah.
You've seen movies, you said, or TV?
I've seen
movies.
TV.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is back.
I know.
Watch some of that.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
Do you watch Justified? Are you watching that?
I watched the entire first season. I loved it. I caught a couple episodes of the second and then just lost track of it. And
I know it's
one of the best shows on TV.
First season was good.
I thought it was terrific.
Second season was fantastic. And then this season is...
Ooh. I'll tell you who I keep running into.
Ooh.
Is who's the guy? Raylan is the lead guy.
Yeah.
And who's the guy that's his childhood friend but's a bad guy?
Oh, Boyd Crowder, the guy from The Shield?
Yeah.
Boyd, what's his actual name? Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins, what a great name.
Yeah.
I run into him all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think I ran into him at Jones a couple months ago on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
At Katsuya on Ventura.
There was a
time there where I would see him. I saw him three times in a month and a half.
Oh, huh.
He's wonderful. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
now that you know him,
he's an odd looking dude.
He is. But
on The Shield, he was fantastic. And boy, on this, I don't think they really knew what to do with him first season of Justified.
Yeah.
But boy, going forward, it's fantastic.
See, I never watched The Shield. I never got into it.
No kidding.
I never bought the character. I just thought it was always too. It was trying too hard. But now that I know him from Justified.
Mm-hmm.
You're just flipping around at home, and I can't believe how much stuff you see his face pop up.
Oh, sure.
Like the Bourne movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the guys in The Office in the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
He's been in everything.
Yeah.
Just one of those character actors just waiting to be a leading man kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's terrific. So you've been watching Justified?
Justified. And this week, when you're listening to this, will be the season finale for the season.
Mm,
and man,
okay.
It's building. They got... Last season and then this season, they've got some great villains.
Mm.
I mean, just really.
The woman last season.
Yeah.
She was terrific. And I didn't even get to everything that she did. But, I can't think of the actress's name. But she was,
Again, she's in everything.
I will always,
I can't think
she's
of her
in
name.
Everything. Yeah. But I will always know her as is it Minnie or Millie or Minnie from The Rocketeer? She runs the Bulldog Cafe behind the counter. And that's the first thing I ever saw her in. And everything since then, it's been like, oh, she was in The Rocketeer. I'll tell you what I am watching.
Tell me.
And I'm about four episodes into it, is season one of The Killing, speaking of The Rocketeer.
Oh, okay.
And I'm really getting into it. It's on Netflix Instant. So I'm about four episodes in. And did you ever see a show?
I'm gonna warn you quickly before you start.
Uh-oh.
You're in for crushing disappointment in the last episode.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying.
Did you ever see a show on HBO? I think it was a British show that they ran like on normal UK TV, but then they ran it on HBO here called 7 days or 5 days or 7 days or something.
How many days?
But you remember the posters? It was just like a car on the side of the road.
I don't know.
And it was a woman with her two kids, mm-hmm. and she pulls the car over on the side of the road before they get on the freeway. She goes to buy some flowers at a truck,
mm-hmm.
and the two kids are waiting in the car, and the boy's kind of watching for her, and then she kind of goes out of sight, and that's it. She's gone.
Right.
And that is the show. And then eventually the sun goes down, the kids are still sitting there, like the truck takes off, and that's it. And then it becomes everything that sort of surrounds this incident. The media gets involved. The cops are trying to figure it out. The husband, he becomes a suspect and whatever. And it just plays out very, very real in how these some people that had nothing to do with each other before this happened become connected and become involved. And it's, I gotta think of the name of it, but it's something days, like 5 days or 10 days or something. And it's 127 wonderful.
127 days.
But it reminds me of this Killing thing where like all these characters are sort of, they're popping in and they never normally would socialize, but they're becoming part of this.
Right, all this stuff tied in. And you say speaking of The Rocketeer because one of the main characters
is Billy Campbell.
Is Billy Campbell as the politician in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good show mm-hmm. and it's got a lot of great red herrings. It's mm-hmm. a little slow paced, but they at the last episode of the first season, they throw you this I'm not gonna say they just throw you this giant curveball so that they will have a second season.
Okay. Well, that's good, though, because this way, now that it is having a second season and I can catch up with all this stuff, see, if it was more, if I was watching it as it was unfolding, I'd probably get more uptight about that.
Right.
But now that I can sit back and selfishly go, oh, I can watch this stuff anytime,
right.
that's good. If I dig it, the more that's out there, the better.
Oh, and I watched the first two episodes of Bent, because you...
Oh, you did?
It. Yes.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's all right.
It's pretty fast and funny.
It is not as funny as The New Girl. Ugh,
but what is, really?
No, I'm serious, though. But I mean, if you like
Mary
that
Tyler
same
Moore,
sort of snappy...
MASH.
Stop it. If you like that same kind of snappy, sarcastic thing, you will like The New Girl. And this past episode of The New Girl, maybe the funniest ever.
I thought of you the other day, because it was a movie on called All the Real Girls. Did you ever see that?
No.
With Zooey Deschanel, wasn't it?
Okay.
I just thought of you because I watched like 5 minutes of it, and her with her
here's the thing.
Her voice is kind of like
Zooey Deschanel, not my favorite thing about the show.
She sort of says,
I know you find this you very hard
maybe
to believe. There are other characters
sort of maybe
and other actors
on the
show.
Have a beer or something and then talk about some stuff.
Well, I guess this is a bad time to bring in our first guest, Mrs. Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, hi, Zooey. Welcome to the show.
Jason's a huge fan.
I was just doing my impression of you.
Yeah,
out of love. Well, I will start watching. Do you have the DVDs?
They don't have the DVDs yet.
But why is that? It's a very popular show.
It is.
Is it on Instant?
It may be. What service do you have?
I do the Netflix through the...
Yeah, but like for your cable, the bits that come into your house. What do you
cable?
Have
what do you mean?
Or satellite?
DirecTV?
Do you have DirecTV?
I have DirecTV.
Well, then I think it may be on the
on-demand
thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that's how I saw Bent. Was
I demand
it. On demand.
All right. Well, yeah, I get a bad feeling about Bent. Like, it's not going to...
Yeah, and apparently the critics... I like Amanda Pia. She's very, very funny.
The critics have gathered and, like, put a petition together for the head of the network saying, please do not cancel this show. It's like, they love it so much. And Tambor is great on it, too.
He's
great in everything.
Yeah.
There's an episode that comes up where his ex-wife... comes into play, and it's Marcia Gay Harden.
Oh, okay.
But they're both actors, and their whole lives they've always been competing.
Yeah.
But she's been in London doing stuff on stage, and then every now and then she'll sort of just lapse into a terrible British accent.
Yeah.
As she's just talking, and everyone just sort of raises their eyebrows. What is she doing? But it's just she doesn't even know she's doing it because she's become so native. Well, that's cool. Thanks for trying it. I'll have to try The New Girl now.
Aha!
Because you've dipped your toe in that.
I see you're bent, and I raise you one
well,
new girl.
Last time we did this, you wanted to start with what are we excited about?
Yes.
Your favorite section of the show. You want to do that again? You want to start with that?
It's really our only named segment of the show.
It is. We should just come up with new names.
Yeah.
Names for segments.
If people have suggestions for segment names.
Yeah. We could use them.
You send those right in. Daniel@geekshallandhair.com and Jason@geekshallandhair.com.
So long as it's related to the show. It's not like, you know, Farming Club or something.
Right.
It should be...
Favorite pair of pants. It's our new segment.
Yeah. It should be related to stuff that we've already talked about. But
things we're excited about.
What are you excited
about? This week, Captain Action is coming out. He's actually on store shelves.
As we speak.
Yes. We did an interview with Joe from Captain Action when we were at Toy Fair. But they're out now. Also, the Spider-Man costume, the Captain America costume is out. They've been sighted on shelves at Toys R Us. Yes, do you have a question?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
And I will.
But this is officially the fourth go-round for Captain Action.
Yes.
The third go-round as a 12-inch figure.
Correct.
But the fourth go-round as a property, as a toy.
Yes.
So we had the original Captain Action in 66, 67.
Yes. Uh-huh.
By Ideal. Mm-hmm. And for those of you out there that don't know what Captain Action is, Captain Action was an original character created by Ideal. I think he got his own comic book as well. And his bad guy counterpart was Bill, who was a goofy-looking guy with a creepy, weird blue face and big bug eyes. And a brain
sticking out of his head.
And he wore like a caftan or like a cool hippie, outfit with like sandals. And then he had a big medallion. Captain Action, I don't know if he was part of an organization or what his deal was, but he had like a military cap and a cool turtleneck and a gun and everything.
And a sidekick.
And a sidekick. Which was called Action Boy?
Yes.
Is that what it was? And then what was cool about Captain Action was... And again, you can jump in any time here, but I think this was the first time that a toy company licensed characters for this purpose, basically.
That's right.
Which was, they licensed, Ideal licensed, got licenses from DC, from Marvel, for the Lone Ranger, for the Green Hornet.
Correct.
Which was a radio and then a TV character, for Flash Gordon, for Buck Rogers, you know, King Features and the Dilly organization, whatever that was for Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
All to make outfits and masks that went with the 12-inch Captain Action figure.
That's right.
And then you would put these outfits on the figure and Captain Action would suddenly become Spider-Man.
Superman, Batman,
Captain
Aquaman.
America.
Yeah.
So let's go through the Marvel and DC alone. These characters. The outfits came in a box, sometimes with a little ring, a little flicker ring that came with it.
Right. And accessories.
So you had Spider-Man, Aquaman, Batman, Superman.
Captain America. There was a Robin for...
You had Lone Ranger, Tonto, Aqualad, Green Hornet, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, the Phantom.
Yes.
The Lee Falk character, the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably more than that, but that's all I got. And they also made a female equivalent, not with masks, but the Ideal made a sort of companion set. They were called, forget the name, but it was like Wonder Woman, an Aquaman, you know, female companion, something like that. Yeah. There were like four of them, Supergirl sort of thing at the same time. And then... mid or late 90s, Playing Mantis.
Correct.
The long gone, but great, not to be forgotten, Playing Mantis, relaunched Captain Action with the Green Hornet and Kato, right?
Yes.
And I think they did a Lone Ranger and a Tonto.
They did.
And a Flash Gordon and a Ming, which had never been done. The Ming had never been done.
Right.
And Kato, I don't think, had ever been done.
Well, there wasn't that much stuff for Dr. Evil in the classic version either.
Like good point. Like, what was there?
You know, I'd have to look at that. I've got that
That's
awesome
a good
book
point.
They did.
Because the gist was he had the same thing. Like, his mask would come off and he'd be different. Because he came with like a, he was like a nondescript dude with a beard.
Yeah.
You know, and then was going to be something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So Playing Mantis relaunched it. Didn't do that well. They had him at KB,
They didn't get some of the big licenses this time around.
But it was KB, right? Wasn't that like the only place that had it?
No, they weren't the only place.
Well, they weren't?
They were one of the main carriers of it, yeah.
And was there, I don't know if there was just a Captain Action that came out for that go-round. Was there?
I believe there was,
in the outfit? There was, okay. So then, a few years back...
Castaway Toys.
Castaway Toys made a really cool 8-inch Mego-esque version of Captain Action and a Dr. Evil. They had to change the name, the lettering on the name, the spelling a little bit because of all the Austin Powers nonsense.
Yep.
And that did really, really well for them. People just loved the fact there was an 8-inch version.
Yeah.
And now, Who's doing it?
Well, it's round two.
Round two.
Which are a bunch of old Playing Mantis employees.
Oh, I didn't know
Yeah, they took a lot of those same licenses. The Rudolphs, the,
oh, yeah,
the Frosties, the Charlie Browns.
They did all, Playing Mantis did all the Rudolph stuff,
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
they?
That's
oh,
right.
They were
yeah.
great.
So round two is kind of the rebirth of Playing Mantis.
Oh,
but the
cool.
other cool thing about this launch is they've re-sculpted the head and made it more sort of modern. Because he always had this kind of weird, worried look, you know?
Yeah.
He sort of...
The eyebrows kind of met
furrowed eyebrows.
In the
yeah,
middle. Yeah,
yeah
they went
yeah,
up
like,
and met.
Hey, guys, are we going to...
We're going to fight crime.
Yeah, so they did that. And they've got these new costumes. They're having Tim Bruckner sculpt some of the masks now.
Oh,
they
I
announced
didn't know that.
Yeah, I think
oh, cool.
he did Thor,
okay.
which is coming. They just announced this past week, that they're doing Loki... just did a
nice.
Classic version of that.
Now, aren't they doing a thing that's sort of a build-a-figure where they're
build
putting,
a costume
build a
for
costume.
The Avengers? Yeah.
yeah.
So as you buy these sets, you'll get all the costume pieces for Hawkeye.
So you can get the Captain Action 12-inch figure on his own at your local Toys R Us or wherever for.
Well, there's two different
$20,
versions
30
also.
Bucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a $20 version at Toys R Us that's kind of stripped down. There's a higher end version with more accessories and things that you can get at comic shops and probably other direct marketplaces.
Okay.
And then the costume sets are also at Toys R Us and those other places.
And those run you like $20?
I think, yeah, the costume sets are somewhere between 15 and 20.
15, 20 bucks?
Yeah.
So it's cool that it's back. I mean, it's one of those licenses.
It's back and it's updated, which I think is great.
Right.
And they've got this big, you know, they've got the Marvel license, which is dynamite.
Awesome. Yeah. It's one of the coolest toy concepts that ever existed, and
yeah.
and the Captain Action collectors are legion. I mean, they really, you just try to get this stuff, to track any of the original stuff down. I mean, the outfits can run between $600 to like $1,500 for a complete box set of an outfit or
yeah.
something, because they were so detailed and so beautifully done. And I don't think it's the sort of thing that got as big a push as like a G.I. Joe. So even when the stuff came out in the
right.
60s, it's not like it was on every street corner. You know,
yeah,
it was kind of hard to find sometimes.
And it's interesting because not all like antique dealers recognize what those things are.
That's
like,
right.
I remember going into this was probably back in early 90s also, going into an antique store with a buddy of mine looking for toys and stuff. And he found like a complete Superman, but they were like, mm-hmm. "Oh well, we can't find the body. It just has the head."
And they didn't know
and
what
it was.
It was
the mask.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I think he paid, I don't know, maybe $10, maybe $5
oh
for it.
Yeah, it's. I remember when I think of Captain Action, I think of the toy shop paper
yeah.
in the mid '90s, and I think of the double page color spread that was in the middle of the toy shop
yeah.
that they started to do. And there was a company, ironically called Toys and Stuff, Toys N. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they were in New York, and the guy was British. I think his name was Mike Stannard, if I can remember this name.
Wow.
And got loads of stuff, loads of crazy imported Star Wars stuff and Corgi stuff and, you know, Bond, high-end stuff. A lot of Captain Action. I mean, complete outfits, sealed,
yeah.
that he would have in the middle of this thing that went for, I mean, this is back in the oh, I'm sorry, what am I saying, mid-90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
You're talking a fortune for
yeah.
this stuff. So it's
yeah.
hugely popular. And several times over the years, different toy companies have tried to ape what Captain Action did.
Mm-hmm.
Most obvious was Max FX in 90, was
right,
it, or 91?
Yeah, yeah.
That Matchbox did, where they had this, the whole idea was it was like a 10-inch figure, 9 or 10 inches. It was a weird sort of size for this character, and he was supposed to be like a special effects guy.
Right.
And he could do makeup and creatures on himself and stuff. And he came in a box with the Freddy Krueger outfit.
That's right.
And then at the same time, there was like this talking Freddy Krueger doll that came out. And all the parental groups were up in arms. How can you sell this to kids in a toy store? It's about a child molester that, you know, slices people open and stuff. And there was some myth about it that it didn't really get to many stores kind of thing because of that. I don't know if that's true. I just know that
I remember seeing them.
Everybody,
lots of places,
I had
yeah.
one. Everybody, you know, got them back then or tried to get them because they thought they were going to be gone. But he came with the Freddy Krueger outfit, and on the back of the package were shown Frankenstein's monster,
mm-hmm.
Some kind of a vampire thing, and the alien, the Giger alien creature.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So had this gone on,
yeah.
you would have had these outfits, and that would have been the closest to like a Captain Action
yeah.
that would have happened.
There's also Hugo the Man of a Thousand Faces.
creepiest doll ever made, that thing.
Yeah.
Hugo was. Without anything on his face is the stuff of nightmares.
It really
if
is.
If that face was on
I remember
your
a buddy of mine in college had
2
one of those. Like, and it, because it was like a puppet. It was hollow. In the, and he had it like sitting on his banister of his of the stairs in his place in college. It was just like.
You'd never go upstairs.
Yeah.
You'd never go to the bathroom. You'd just be like, I'll just wait till I get home. I don't want to have
Hugo there?
Walk past Hugo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hugo, is he going to be there all night? Because I'm going to hold it, I think.
I'll wait.
Well, let me tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited about Captain Action. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I hope we get more than what we're going to get. I hope it continues because it is the greatest concept. So I really hope that it's around for years and we get to see all the stuff we'd imagine what they could do if they got, you know, imagine if they got like a Bond license or,
absolutely,
you know, whatever, like all the characters. I know Sideshow's done it, but how much fun would it be to have different outfits from movies? And
so just real quick before you get to your thing, C2E2 is going to be this weekend in Chicago, the 13th through the 15th. And the Captain Action guys are going to be there.
Oh.
And I think there may be some sort of announcement.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's.
I've heard that rumor. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard there may be some new Captain Action news.
I'll meet you back here in a week.
Okay.
I hope you got some info for me.
So.
And send me the link to the deluxe thing that exists.
Okay.
If you know
sure.
where that is. I didn't
yeah.
know about that. I'll tell you what I'm excited about, and I hope it's not unfounded. Well, it made me think of this because the other day I picked up the Blu-ray of Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Mm.
Finally came out on Blu-ray.
You want to just sit here for the next hour and do some lines?
Just do the bits?
Yeah.
It's obviously the Pythons to me are the Beatles of comedy, and I've loved them ever since I was a kid. And Holy Grail is.
Who are the Pythons of music then?
Who are the Pythons of music?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. Because it would have to come full circle then.
Right.
It would have to come all the way around.
Be the Ruddles.
See, George Harrison always said, well, yeah, that would be. And you know what the problem with that is? Everyone thinks Ruddles, they think of Eric Idle. But really, it's Neil Innes. Neil Innes wrote all those songs. And he, as great as the project was, all he needs is cash that Eric Idle did and wrote. And the details in there, the songs. Do you know that those songs were so good and such a good pastiche and homage that Neil Innes does not collect royalties from those songs he wrote? Because the legal stuff was in such a mess in the 70s that all the Beatle lawyers went after this and said, these songs are so close to the originals, we're going to sue you for royalties.
Yeah.
And so Neil Innes has never made money off of the Ruddles songs.
Huh.
Yeah, they literally have to be like Innes/Lennon-McCartney.
Wow.
On the credits.
Do you think Beatallica has that same problem?
They might. They might. If they get big enough, they might. Anyway, so George Harrison always thought, you know, the spirit of the Beatles was in the Pythons when they sort of were on. And when they were really depressed in 69, they would put Monty Python on because that sort of got them out of this horrible time that they were in. Anyway, Holy Grail, everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. One of the greatest comedies ever. I now realize I've owned it on every format. Except for beta. I had the Criterion Laserdisc.
Yes.
I've had it on VHS 2 or 3 times. I've had it on DVD. This is the 3rd or 4th time I've had it on DVD, I think.
Right, because they keep putting out like anniversary editions.
Anniversary, special bonus stuff that you never saw before. And it's great. It's got a couple of extra things on it, but it doesn't matter because it's just one of those comfort movies that I put on. And for me, it's not always the obvious stuff. For me, it's the little moments in it that still make me laugh, like the conversations, you know, between him and the peasants about, you know, how did he become king by, and all that. That's the stuff that I think is so brilliant, where they juxtapose the time with the modern thinking and dialogue. But this weekend, the weekend we just had, now that this is going to air, there is a TV movie that had been produced and is going to air Saturday night. It's called Holy Flying Circus.
Yes.
Look for it. It's a biopic of the Pythons about specifically the time that Life of Brian was being made in 79 and the controversy about its making and getting released.
Okay.
And so for the first time, you've got all these actors that are playing the Pythons, you know, Chapman and Cleese and Jones and everybody. And I saw one still shot of the faces. And I recognize a few of the character actors, you know, the British character actors, but some of them are just dead on. Like, the guy that's playing Idol is so dead on physically, it's creepy.
Huh.
And I hope it's cool, because it's such an amazing story that they they were literally 2 weeks away from filming this thing when they had funding from EMI, and Lord Delphont, who is the head of EMI, finally read the script and said, and Cleese says, and I quote, "If I make this film, they will crucify me." That was his quote. He's like, I cannot do it. Because as everyone thought, and all the uptight conservatives thought, somehow they were parodying the life of Jesus, which is not what they were were doing.
They weren't making fun of Jesus. They were making fun of religion.
Exactly. They were making fun of the people that wrote everything down wrong and have argued and killed each other for the past hundreds of years to get it right.
He said, blessed are the cheese makers.
Exactly. And and there's a great, I don't know if you've ever seen it on YouTube, where, you know, Cleese and Palin went on a show, I think it was called Friday Night and Saturday Morning. It was a British sort of talk show. And that was right around the time that Brian was released. And they had these two religious sort of leaders in the UK that argue with them. The Archbishop of something and someone else. And they're just complete hypocrites, of course, when you find out about their lives. But they went head-to-head about it. And that was one of the scenes that they point out.
It's, oh, okay.
You know, the only time you see Jesus is at the beginning when he starts to do the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. And the camera pulls back and someone says, what did he say? Speak up! And they start yelling to speak up. And that's where all the confusion lied. And anyway, so this... But this was really a scary time for them because they weren't going to make the film. And then George Harrison came along and said, well, I've got some money.
Yeah.
I want to make it. And the old joke has always been, you know, it was the most expensive movie ticket in history. He just wanted to see the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So he came in and made handmade films, and they made the thing, and it made a fortune. But when it got released, it was banned in many cities.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., there was picketing everywhere because they thought that that's what they were doing.
So I just... This week, I just put HBO back on my DirecTV for Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And just when I was going in to put Game of Thrones on my DVR, I came across probably the last 25 minutes of that four-hour George Harrison documentary.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
I have to track down the rest of that.
It's good. I think it's due out because it's out in the UK. I'm pretty sure it's out on DVD there. I loved it, but I had a lot of problems with it because... mainly because of the way it jumps around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
jumps around a lot. If you know the story, if you know all about the history of the band and everything and Harrison, that's fine. But it would be nice to have... Like, there's a piece of footage that I had never seen before that is about 74, 75. And it's in... I think it's in the Apple building, or it's in a building in New... No, it's in a building in New York, because they were in New York at the time. And Lennon was supposed to be there, but his... flipping astrology cards because of Yoko, said it was the wrong day to come across town through the park to sign these papers. This was the day that the papers are going to be signed to finally dissolve the band so they can go off and do whatever they want.
Right.
And that, ironically, would have been the thing that may have opened the door for them to do something together once all that nonsense got. And it's a piece of footage. It's Harrison and a bunch of legal, you know, lawyers, papers all over the table. And 2 feet down the table to his right is McCartney.
Okay.
And they are signing these papers. They're just people just flipping the papers. They sign the next one, flip it. And I looked at this. I've never seen this. This is like this historic moment that is changing, you know, pop history for these guys.
Yeah.
There's not even like a little tag on the screen that says April 17th, you know, 1975. Things like that that was missing that it really needed. I didn't like. And big chunks of his life that they didn't go into. You know,
well, they had 4 hours.
They did, but it was fantastic to talk about the cocaine use. Yeah. People don't know just how bad he was in the 70s and how it destroyed his voice and it ruined that tour and everything. That was great to have in there.
Yeah.
But then you didn't have something like handmade films and how he got taken by Dennis O'Brien and lost millions, which made the Beatles anthology project interesting to him because he needed the money.
Right.
And in 94 when that thing came out, 95, you know, so stuff like that. But the footage in there and the interviews and the...
Yeah, because I came in the part where they were talking to his son a bit and the Traveling Wilburys part.
Just,
some of those stories, like, you know, Tom Petty was just like, he just came over one day and was like, I'm going to give you a ukulele.
Yeah.
And then he spent the whole day teaching him to play ukulele. The point he said, the next day my wrist hurt, and he's like, I'm going to leave you some more ukuleles. It's like, no, you just gave me this one.
You never know when you're going to need it.
You never know.
Yeah.
And went to his trunk that was full of ukuleles and left 4 more.
Did you ever see the Petty one? The Tom Petty documentary?
No, huh?
Oh, man. That's done by, I want to say, Peter Bogdanovich did this thing. It's like 3 hours. And I only have... I mean, I must have full moon fever, and I've got the Wilburys, and I've got like a petty greatest hits, and I've got Damn the Torpedoes, but I am not a petty. I don't have like everything the guy's been. I mean, I admire the guy, and I like his stuff, and that's it. This documentary is unbelievable. Yeah. The stuff that's in there, but just stuff I didn't know about Petty.
Yeah.
Holding his tapes hostage from the label at one point, saying, I'm not releasing this stuff. And then he finally, there's at one point, I forget what the album was, he gives the tapes to this trusted roadie kind of guy and said, you need to take these. You need to take them somewhere. Don't tell me where you're going. Don't tell me what you're doing with them. And he hid them somewhere. So when the label came and said, okay, where's the album? We need to deliver it. And Petty said, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
I don't know where it
He did stuff like that. And then there was a battle he had with the label about the price of an album. They started jacking up albums in the late 70s, he said, you're not charging that much for my album. I'm not going to have it. And he stood his ground, took him to court. So his fans wouldn't have to pay that much for a new record.
Yeah.
And he's stoned off his tits the entire documentary. He's clearly a massive pothead. Even that Harrison interview, he's just like, and he said to me, I got ukuleles in the trunk. You know, he's like barely opening his mouth. But he's a bit of a maverick, and it's a great documentary if you can track that down. Johnny Depp is in there and all that stuff.
The other great moment in the just one more thing about the George Harrison, that the last story that Ringo told.
Oh, God.
When he's, you know, George is really sick.
Yeah.
I guess they're in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And everyone sort of knows it's the end. And Ringo flies out there to have a conversation with him because he knows he's sick. And Ringo's daughter is sick, too.
Yeah.
And he's mentioning that, you know, he's going to have to take her, I think, to the States.
Yeah.
To you know, see some specialists, and George just looks at him and goes, "Do you want me to come with you?"
Yeah,
just like, oh man.
And Ringo just loses it in the documentary. It's amazing. There's a great story about because you know Harrison always had problems with McCartney, but I think mainly because McCartney, you know, imagine what it was like. And this is not to say McCartney doesn't have his faults, but imagine what it was like being in the studio where Harrison would bring something. And Lennon and McCartney were terrible to him. They were awful to him for years. He said, that song's not good enough. But watching Harrison struggle for 2 days with a guitar part, McCartney would get it down in 2 hours and wanting to go, George, I've got it. Here's what we can do. And George goes, da-da-da-da, let me do, you know, like you're imposing on me too much. So Lennon or McCartney have to sit back and wait. And that became a real bone of contention for Harrison. So for many years, Harrison didn't like the fact that McCartney was more talented and pushed himself too much and whatever it is, but they loved each other, these guys. They did. And Eric Idle, at the ceremony for the Star on the Walk of Fame, Idle talked about, McCartney's right there, and Olivia, his, you know, Harrison's widow, and Idle says, you know, a lot of people don't know just how fantastic Sir Paul McCartney was, to his brother George Harrison when he was dying. He died at McCartney's house in California, and he said everything that a friend could possibly do for him, he did. But he said a lot of people don't know this. He said that George actually died at Paul's house. He said, which is why I will never go and stay with John Cleese.
Nice.
That was hilarious. Anyway, so that's a TV movie that's coming out that that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's pretty in-depth with all that stuff. That's what I'm excited about.
Excellent.
Yeah. What else you got for me?
Well, there's some new stuff that has come out in the week since we've seen each other. Some trailers.
Yeah.
The Total Recall trailer.
Very
cool.
Which
I think surprised everyone.
Yeah.
With how good it was.
It surprised me because I knew it was Total Recall, but it was different enough that I felt like they're going to try to do something different here.
Yeah.
They're not just doing an instant remake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it could be cool.
I'm intrigued, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely piqued my curiosity.
There was good stuff in there. And it's Jessica Biel?
Is that the...
And who else? There was another face in there that we recognized. Oh, you know, who was in it? Was Sulu, the new Sulu.
Yes, that's right.
He was in it.
Yes.
So I wonder if he's got how big of it his part is.
Harold.
Yeah, there's Harold that. There's a lot of new Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're a month
trailers.
Away from Avengers now.
A month away.
The countdown has officially started.
Are you going to see it?
No, I don't think I will.
I don't know.
I'll wait for DVD.
I might wait for TV.
Probably have some.
I'll wait
till it's on FX.
I might wait for the ABC Sunday night movie.
Yeah.
In like 6 years.
FX does their day of superhero movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they've got that new, they call it the Headcount trailer.
Right.
Which, you know, is that, well, I've got an army. Well, I've got a Hulk.
Yeah.
But you finally get to see some of the invading army now. Like
right.
Some good.
I paused it. And the wife says, this is the fourth time you've what are you doing? And I said, I want to see the faces.
The aliens, yeah.
Yeah, this is the
first
time.
I was able to do that without anyone in the room with
and
me.
And so, well, so it's like they're on the side of a building.
Yeah.
Right before Hulk crashes in the building and gives him a quick swipe with his arm in the face.
Yeah.
But I saw what looked like red eyes.
Yes.
Dissolve into like a skull face.
Yeah.
Now, for years, for decades, we've been talking about this Avengers film. People kept saying, could it be the Skrulls? It can't be the Skrulls. Is it going to be the Skrulls? It looks like the Skrulls. Look at these Legos. Are they Skrulls? So now I think we know that it's not going to be the Skrulls.
Yeah,
in
it can't
this
be the Skrulls.
It can't be the
Skrulls. Because the Skrulls are part of the Fantastic Four rights.
That's right.
Which are held by Sony.
So what are we looking at? Do you know what these things are, what these guys are?
I forget the name of them now.
Is it ironic that they can't be Skrulls,
but the
but
leading
they're Skulls?
Right. The leading theory on it is it's the whatever the Skrull equivalent is in the Ultimate Universe. I can't remember the name.
Oh. In the Ultimate book, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so they're basically see, that's what I thought they were going to do, yeah. Was just pull that storyline out.
Yeah.
And they can look like humans.
I believe that's correct.
Just like the Skrulls could, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that where
if
a lot of this? Yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So they're gonna.
I mean, that's the speculation on it. That's what
they're
gonna kind of
take
now.
The Millar sort of storyline.
They are at least using. People believe that alien race from that because there are certain ultimate elements in Avengers clearly, like the Nick Fury being Samuel L. Jackson and how they treat Thor and.
I just
and
hope
like that
they don't. I really hope they don't go, the Hulk. Route that they went
the crazy
with.
Rapist genocide.
Well, that was no the wife beater was
that was Ant-Man. Yeah,
Hulk was this you know nebbishy little he was a real weedy nebbishy guy.
Yeah.
That when he became the Hulk, went on a rampage and killed innocent people.
But like ate them and stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
was,
yeah,
yeah. Horrible. Yeah.
Really creepy, weird stuff. And then you know Cap has like a showdown.
Yeah.
With him, and then when he transforms back into Banner, Cap beats the crap out of him.
Yeah.
So I really hope.
I don't think they're doing that.
We don't
As
go into
I,
that.
What I've heard is that Ruffalo is sort of channeling Bill Bixby in it. So.
Oh yeah, that's what I heard too. Like the helping other people. Kind
yeah.
Of
so I'd be very. And then they just released Marvel released I think last night from when we're recording this, another clip which I think I've seen before of Black Widow tied to a chair.
Yes.
On the phone.
Now that was probably a dream you had.
No.
Black Widow tied to a chair on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
You've had that dream.
Talking, with Agent Coulton.
Yes.
And then beating the stuffing out
of those
guys.
You know there's got to be an Agent Coulton film in the works. Don't
you would
think?
Hope so. That'd be fun.
He's such a fan favorite.
They're kind of using him as sort of the viral interstitial thing, too. Like
right.
They released that
they
thing
always
in the
have,
diner.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Did you get the, have you got the comic yet?
No, huh?
There's a 4-issue miniseries.
Of Agent Coulton?
No, it's basically about Fury, but it's a lead up to the Avengers film.
Oh, okay.
2 issues have come out already, and he's in it. But it's really cool how they just sort of it's all the stuff you didn't see. It's parallel to the films.
Okay.
With Fury, so you're seeing you know Coulton come up to him and go, "Sir, something's going on in New Mexico." Well, I'm a little busy with Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah.
And you're seeing, and then all of a sudden you'll pop into a scene from Iron Man 2, and then you'll pop back out and follow Nick.
Oh,
the
that
rest
sounds
of his
great.
Or something. Yeah,
I gotta pick that up.
It's pretty cool. And Coulton's all over it. Like, there's one bit where he comes to, Hawkeye, or someone comes to a place to get gas.
Mm-hmm.
And as he comes in to buy some stuff, the place has got, like, caution tape everywhere.
Okay.
And he just sort of looks at the girl behind the counter. He's like, "Let me guess. You had a bit of a break. You had, like, a hold-up, attempted hold-up last night?" She goes, "Yeah, but it got stopped." He goes, "Let me guess. Guy in a suit driving a black car?" And she's like, "Yeah, absolutely." And he's referring to the little Coulton mini episode that's on one of the Captain America DVD where he comes and stops a robbery at the. So it's little things like that that are sort of.
Do you know the name of that series?
It's called Springtime for Nick.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all about his.
That's a huge help to our listeners.
Springtime for Nick. And he goes shopping for 4 issues.
Nice.
He does. He goes to Ross.
What is the name of it?
He
do
goes
you
to
know?
Ross.
Do you know?
I don't know the name of it.
Ugh,
God, I can't know everything. This every episode.
I'm
it's
just
like,
asking you to know one thing.
Every episode,
and it's this thing.
It's like let's stump Lindsay. Let's see how long we can go on the show before I've answered every one of your questions. And then when you hit a point,
the
you go.
The answer is 39 minutes.
And you're like,
for
what was
episode.
The name of that 78 that came out in 1932 that had four sides to it? And I go, I don't remember. And you go, aha! So I don't remember the name of this, but I think it's got Fury in the title.
I think it's got a flower on the cover.
I think it's made of paper and it's got characters in
probably...
it. But I think it's got Fury in the title.
Just go to your local shop and say, hey, I need that comic that Jason Lindsay was
yeah,
talking about.
Better yet, say, hey, you know that comic that they're talking about on Geek Shall Inherit?
Yeah.
And anywhere you go, you'll get an answer.
Yes.
People will know exactly what you're talking about. Barnes & Noble, you name it.
Thinking of trailers and things on YouTube, something else came out on YouTube this past week.
Yes, it did.
The new project from David Lynch. He's got a new album out, which we knew, called Crazy Clown Time.
Yes.
And now he's got the new single that he has directed.
To go with it.
The video for Crazy Clown Time. Emphasis on the crazy.
Crazy. Now, okay, you're a fan of David Lynch.
I like a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like,
not
how
everything.
How far do you take that?
What are you asking me?
Well, you just,
do I check his website every day to see what the new
well, no,
the weather
you just
at his
clarified
house
it.
Is?
You said I'm a fan of a lot of his stuff.
Right.
Okay. I mean,
I think I have seen all of his films.
Yeah.
I own his book of photography.
Mm.
I was a big Twin Peaks fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, I loved Elephant Man.
I own some of the soundtracks.
I love Dune.
Okay.
And the further we get away from Dune, and the more people try to make Dune, sci-fi tried too many series, the more people appreciate how great that movie is. It mm-hmm. is not perfect. It has got loads of problems. It's got flaws. But again, for years now, it's been this abomination. It is not. That is not the case. It's got Lynch weirdness all throughout it. The costumes, the sets are incredible. I mean, it really is. When you think of how tough it was to adapt that book.
Sure.
It really did a good job. I love Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Blue Velvet. I haven't seen it in 100 years.
Okay.
I liked Wild at Heart.
Yes.
Loved The Straight Story.
Oh, yeah. That was great. I forgot about that. That's a terrific film.
And then he starts to get sort of to these areas where I go, okay, well, now I feel like you're just trying to be extra weird. There was a time where Lynch was this eccentric weirdo that... was just this matter of fact. Mel Brooks always described him as like Jimmy Stewart on acid.
Yes.
Like it was this weird down home, aw shucks thing mixed with complete creepiness. But now it's like when I see a video like that Clown Time, Crazy Clown Time, I go.
I think you've only seen about 2 minutes of the 7 minute.
7 minutes.
Festivities.
But the 2 minutes I did see, you said, are pretty much the entire video.
Well, yeah. It's sort of he's saying, like, I think the first verse is Bobby wears a red shirt. And there is, in fact, a guy named Bobby.
Yeah, and then
wearing
like,
a red shirt.
Susie takes her shirt off.
Yeah,
and Susie takes her shirt off.
Right.
I mean, like everything that he's saying.
And then
much
a guy's
happens
pouring
the
beer. There's like a barbecue that flares up. There's a football player running in place.
Yeah,
I don't think you got to the point where there's just a guy screaming.
No, I'll have to go back to that.
He sort of weaves in and out of it.
But it's definitely not one of those early '80s videos that sort of, you know, was parallel to what's going on the screen. It's you know what I mean, like when they sort of.
And then it's
up.
David Lynch singing in this falsetto.
Yeah, weird.
It's very, very weird.
And I just feel like it's Lynch just trying to be.
I think he really is that weird. I just think he's finally gotten to a point in his career where he can fully be himself.
Well, did you ever see Mulholland Drive?
Yes.
Did you make sense of it? Because I tried. I mean, I went to it and I got about halfway and then it started to go off the rails and I went, okay, you've lost me now.
It is not my favorite project of his, I'll say that.
And what came, something came after that. Oh, there was one that I never saw that I saw bits of on HBO that was like, I can't take 5 minutes of this. And it was Laura Dern and it was, she's just like screaming in the middle of the street. She's like an actress that,
Well, what was the one that had like Robert Blake sneaking into people's houses?
Oh, that was Lost Highway.
Lost Highway, yeah.
Well, first of all, that was Robert Blake's life.
Yes.
Then it was also Lost Highway. Yeah, Lost.
With the
weird, he was creepy.
Shaved eyebrows and.
Yeah, it's Lost Highway because it starts out Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Playing this character, and then it changes into Balthazar Getty.
Yeah.
Like midway through the movie, it's the same character, but two different actors play him or something.
Yeah.
And Robert Loggia is in it.
Yes.
It's really strange.
It is very strange.
Very strange. But do you know anything about his daughter?
Which David Lynch?
David Lynch's daughter, Jennifer?
No.
Jennifer Lynch put out a movie in the mid-90s called Boxing Helena.
Oh,
Helena.
Yeah, yeah, that? Yeah. Oh, sure.
And it was about...
That was hugely controversial.
And it was Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah.
And she had no arms, no legs, and that's her right. boyfriend kept her in a box or something.
Was her boyfriend Billy Zane?
It was Julian Sands.
Oh, it was Julian Sands. That's yeah. right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I think I saw that in the theater.
You were the only one.
I was the only
it
one.
It took her years to sort of get away from that because everyone thought, oh, God, you're David Lynch's daughter. You got to be weird. You got to be creepy. This is what you choose to do for your first project. Years and years to get away from that. And she made a film a couple years ago called Surveillance. Have you seen this?
No.
With Julia Ormond and Bill Pullman.
Okay.
And they are FBI agents in this little town where something happens on the highway. And then it's a matter of, like, surveillance cameras and sort of interrogating these people about the incident that happened.
Okay.
It's pretty disturbing.
Okay.
It's well done. It's good. It's not great, but I thought it was a great effort. And she directed it.
Okay.
It's funny you mentioned Lynch because just recently a friend of mine sent me a link to a documentary that she's part of. She went to India a couple years ago to make a movie called Hiss or something about a woman that turns into a snake. Like this crazy, creepy horror type thing. But there is a documentary that got made on the set, and you've got to find this clip. We should okay. put it up on the Overcast thing, where she's losing her mind trying to make this film in India with no one on her side. The producers are treating her horribly. She's like, I just want to go home, and she's trying to. And she's like, I'm trying to make a stupid effing movie about a woman that turns into a snake. Are you kidding me? Like this is what I'm reduced to. But it seems fascinating, and okay. She looks like David Lynch. She's totally like his daughter. Okay. Even the voice is similar.
Yeah.
But she swears like a dock worker. I mean, she's just kind of crazy. But that seems fascinating. The documentary about the making of this snake movie in India.
Huh.
And they've entered it into some kind of documentary festival or something. Because it seems like a great project to watch. But wow. Sad, but interesting.
Yeah.
You gotta love him, but. He's an interesting
cat. Do I have
cat.
To love him?
Well, he
no,
did
I
a,
do like him.
The, when they released the Twin Peaks box set,
uh-huh.
like the new, not the Blu-ray, but like put this new edition out a couple years ago,
yeah.
he sits down with Kyle MacLachlan and a couple of people from the show, I think.
Yeah.
And they're sitting at the Bigfoot Lodge over in Los Feliz.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's smoking up. I mean, he's still like two packs a day kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just talking about the show. And the one thing he always says about ABC is like, why would you kill the golden goose? He said they pushed and pushed and pushed to say, wrap up the Laura Palmer thing.
Yeah.
Find out who killed her. Wrap it up so we can move on. And yeah. he's like, I kept saying to them, you're going to kill the golden goose. Why would you do this? And he said, as soon as we did that, everything changed. The ratings changed, the vibe changed, where the show was going, and that yeah. was it. That was the death yeah. knell once they did it. When they kept that mystery
and
going.
They did another, because it was David Lynch and Mark Frost.
Right.
Just at the same time, I think it may have been season 2-ish, they started doing a documentary series. Do you remember that?
About Twin Peaks?
No, it was different subjects. I think it only did maybe 4 episodes. I remember the first one was about beauty pageants and stuff, but it was in that same sort of
no.
Lynchian style. Well, I can't think of the name of that. I'll have to look that up.
They tried doing something
yeah, but
else.
But it was gorgeous. I mean, it was really interesting.
That, I mean, that Twin Peaks is just, again, to me, one of the high water marks. Even all these years later, there's never been anything on network television that's come close to looking like that or being
where
that
where everyone
show.
The next morning got on the phone like, what did we just witness?
And it was a miracle, though, because it that shouldn't have happened. It was so strange, and the rhythm was so off on that show.
Yeah,
you didn't expect the masses to pick up the phone and go, did you watch that thing last night? You know what I mean? Like it's and he was as surprised as anyone, I think, that it took off the way that it did, that you suddenly had this incredibly popular show that was so strange.
Yeah,
you know, but it that was it for that. Once they solved that mystery, it was never the same.
So
speaking of mysteries,
hold on, we're running a little long.
Are we?
Yeah, but we still have some stuff to get to. I want you to save your finds this week for next week.
My finds?
Yeah.
Because
I think that's something we really want to delve
into. Yeah, speaking of Dune, I'll just give a little teaser. I found some really... I was doing some spring cleaning, and I found some really, really cool little knickknacks that I thought I'd write down and talk about.
And also this week, I'd like for you to come to my house and do some spring cleaning.
I'd love to.
Because I could really use some help with that.
$10 an hour.
But yeah, there's some good stuff, and I think I want to devote some time to it, because some of the teaser stuff you brought in, is great stuff, and I want to talk about that.
Okay.
So let's move on to the next thing on the list, which there was a Doctor Who companion announced.
Yes.
That we skipped over last week. We didn't talk about it.
We didn't.
I think I forgot to put it on the list. So we know that the Pawns are going away.
Yes.
They have made that very public.
Yes.
There's also a season 7 trailer that's out. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of fun. I mean, it didn't knock me out.
Doesn't tell you a lot.
No.
But some fun stuff.
But
they've announced that there'll be this new companion. I think she shows up in the Christmas episode.
Yeah, I think so. I know nothing about her.
She's 25.
Yeah.
She looks kind of like a British Selena Gomez.
I haven't seen her in anything.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she'll be terrific. And what I keep hearing from the Pawns or Karen Gillan is like she kind of wants to go out with a bang, as they say.
Right.
But also doesn't want to, kind of wants to make it definitive. Hmm. She said her statement was basically like, I it'd be kind of nice if there wasn't that possibility that she'd be coming back in any way.
That's
like
sad,
like she wants to be missed. Sort
right.
of. Doesn't mean that she wants her to die or anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wonder if Moffat would do that, if he would take it that far.
Maybe. I mean, we know one of the two of them is supposed to meet with a very bad end. They've said what it is, but I'm not going to say here, in case people
And God knows, I mean, then it makes you think, because like, they've already killed Rory like 17 times.
Right, yeah.
So it can't be him. Or would it be him? But that would be too obvious, because people are going to think, well, you've already done him,
or
whatever.
Yeah.
But I know nothing about this girl except that, you know, she looks like a Doctor Who companion, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
And people are like, oh, she's so young, but Matt Smith is only like 26 now, right? Didn't they grab him when he was like 24?
Yeah, and that's cool. I guess I kind of, you know, I had problems with a lot of stuff that Russell T. Davis did with like this nuclear family he made with, I never liked Captain Jack, and I didn't like Mickey. I hated Jackie, the mother. You know, I liked Rose, and I hated Donna Noble. I hated that entire season with her.
Really?
I really did. I thought she was a terrible companion and just not very funny. I just didn't.
What?
The goofiness. I just didn't think, you know, if you go through the history of the stuff from the 60s and the 70s and stuff, and there was some really groundbreaking, even Leela as a savage was a groundbreaking sort of character. And yeah, it was for the dads with the sexy outfit or whatever, but he was, you know, taking this savage and trying to, it was like, you know, Pygmalion. He was trying to sort of say, this is not a way to live or whatever. I mean, they don't do enough of that, I don't think. I'm seeing the same kind of companions all the time. It'd be nice if, you know, what if it was someone like a Billy Connolly, you know?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why couldn't Billy Connolly be hanging out with him and traveling, you know?
Right, because he's doing Lord of the Rings right now.
Instead of Alf, you know?
He's doing The Hobbit.
The
Alf?
Well, you know, the granddad. The what was his name?
Donna's granddad?
Donna's granddad, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Wilford Bramble. Not Wilford Bramble. It was, Wilford Bramble was in Hard Day's Night. He was in one of the Doctor Who movies from the 60s with Peter Cushing.
Right.
He was actually a policeman in one of those movies, and they used him as Donna's granddad. And he was great, but it's like, okay, that's too far up that spectrum. You know, maybe there could be something in the middle somewhere where, you know, he could bop around with somebody. I don't know.
Maybe you should write a strongly worded letter.
Maybe I will.
Send it to the BBC.
I just remember seeing the pictures of this girl and reading the thing and thinking, oh, you know, another female companion. You know who my favorite has been so far?
Who?
My favorite companion of the entire new show was Martha.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was terrific.
All right.
From the first episode, from the first moments, she was wonderful. And they only gave her a season. I never understood that. What did you think of her?
I think that was her choice, though.
No, because they moved her on to Torchwood.
Kind of.
Yeah, they did. She was only
in a couple episodes. I mean, she didn't last there.
Yeah, but they remember how they like in the next season they like went back and forth between Torchwood and Doctor Who, and she was part of Torchwood, and she was. Anyway, what did you think of the new lady?
I'm just curious to know more. I mean, they sort of said was this is her.
Yeah.
And she'll be here in about 9 episodes.
Right.
See you at Christmas.
So we're not going to get her in the main season.
That's right.
So the main season is going to... And is this a season that's going to be feature length, each episode? It's gonna be,
yeah, extra beefy episodes.
Extra beefy feature length.
Yes.
And then back to regular? Or is it going to be feature length until the 50th anniversary?
I think they're past the Christmas one that there will still be long episodes,
so
I believe.
This young lady will be his companion for the 50th anniversary.
I believe that is probably correct.
Very exciting.
Yes. Unless they're throwing us some kind of red herring.
Well, sooner than later, I hope we start to hear word about what the 50th anniversary is going to be.
Yeah.
What they have planned, because if Moffat's in charge, it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So yeah, very cool.
The other news is Mattel announced that the DC UC, the Club Infinite Earth subscription, was pushed back a month. It was supposed to start in April.
Now, is that's a good thing?
I think some people are sad they're not getting the figure this month. That it's going to start in May now.
But
so they were supposed to get the Golden Age Flash this month, but he's in fact coming in May.
But isn't that sort of to ensure that they get more subscriptions, kind of?
No.
Oh,
it has nothing
to
do with that.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just, you know, what happens with factories all the time. It's like we say, go make me all these Golden Age Flashes, and they go, oh, yeah, we'll have those by May. And then, you know, another company comes in and goes, but we need 7 billion baby bottles. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll make those first.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm a little
familiar. I mean, they haven't announced anything. You know, we just know that happens in factories.
I'm a little familiar.
They sneak stuff in all the time and push stuff back, and you're at the mercy, because what are you going to do? You don't have your own factory. So
they're sneaky, sneaky factory people.
You know, it's still kind of a small run by comparison. So
yes.
They don't quite have the pull for that. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention.
Yes.
Was coming up very soon, also in April, is my website, Action Figure Insider.
Yeah.
Who I started with Mr. Jason Geyer. It's our 7th anniversary.
I know.
It's been going for 7 years.
What are you doing?
That's crazy to me.
Think of the people you've touched.
I've touched a lot
of
people.
Let me rephrase that.
And I will touch more.
Think of the hearts you've touched.
Oh, yes.
You know, 7 years, that's a long time. And you don't have to disclose it here, but tens of thousands of people every month, unique visitors every month
absolutely.
To AFI.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you certainly didn't have that the day it started.
No.
So think of how much it's grown, and how does that make you feel 7 years in?
It feels great. You know, I feel like we've done exactly what we've set out to do,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, find a place, you know, create a place where... You know, where it didn't have all the lunatic fringe and the sort of hostility of a lot of other sites,
mm-hmm.
where you could have a discussion. We talk a lot about behind the scenes stuff. We've made a lot of great relationships. So we're able to, you know, talk to the right people and get answers for collectors. Because that's why I started doing this to begin with. It was back in the day of like the Hasbro Batman animated series stuff. There was no one sort of reporting on that, and it would just stuff would come out, and I was like, well, there's got to be someone that can talk to these companies and sort of get more answers on
right.
that stuff, because at the time you were just kind of waiting for magazines to come out, and sometimes by the time the magazine came out, what you saw was already on the shelf.
Right.
So, you know, I set about to sort of create these relationships and be able to find out that sort of information.
Well, I think what sets you guys apart, I think it always has too, is the sort of tone of it
mm-hmm.
as well. Like, I think you've always been very good about, you know, there. If you want, you know, a site to be hypercritical of the companies or the sculpt on the hand or whatever it is, there's plenty of other sites out there that you can go to for that.
Right.
And there are plenty of people that can make comments on stories that you post on the site that can do that. But as the guys that run the thing... The idea was to keep it neutral always, right? Was to just sort of, you're reporting on the information and that's it. And it's not about, I can't wait for this. I'm more excited for this. This is going to be stupid.
Yeah.
It's about, here's the information. Do what you will with it.
Yeah, we want to show you the product
in
the best light that we can, but what it is, and then you make your own mind up.
Right.
You know, we don't have to tell you how to think because everyone is, you know, it's all subjective.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always what we've tried to do. It's just like, hey, we've got this thing. We think it's cool. Maybe you do too.
Right.
But this is what it looks like, and this is its features. And, you know, of course, we always wish we had more time to work on it because it's not any of our full-time job.
Right.
But we've picked up a lot of amazing guys for the staff. You know, it started with just Jason and I.
Right.
But we've got guys like Peter Goh, who is our backbone, who we absolutely would not exist without. Ryan Prast, Dan Newman, all those guys have been such contributors, and then all the mods, you know, because we can't be on the boards at all time.
Right.
So we've got a bunch of guys that have been there for a long time from the beginning that help us out. And just all the, you know, the fans, the contributors, the people that walk up to you. I mean, it's just, I love doing it. And I do it because I love this stuff.
Yeah.
And doing it for 7 years is a little bit mind-blowing to me.
But on the other hand, it just seems like longer to me. It seems like I've been looking at that logo and I've been aware of you guys for longer than that. 7 years seems like, that doesn't seem like long enough to me. You
know, it feels like on keep going.
You've been that much of a presence for so long that it feels like longer than that, you know. Why do you think, because you really are sort of out in front, I do think this site has become, you know, the Ain't It Cool News kind of that world in many ways. I think AFI is becoming like, you know, one of the stops for people for toy info.
Right.
So why do you think that you know, this versus, you know, I don't know, figures.com or whatever else is that? I mean, I can't think of what the next thing would be that you compare it to, but
is
it the breadth of the subjects or?
Well, part of it is we try as much as possible. We try and generate original content, mm-hmm. which not all sites do. And part of that is, again, the nature of this, where I don't think for any of us, even other sites, it's people's full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and part of it is just the relationship. You know, that people can ask me something and I'll go and try and find that answer.
Right.
And I don't know that all the other sites have those sorts of relationships. But, you know, we're not always the first with news. We don't always have the best pictures. But we just try and be consistent and as up to date as possible.
Yeah.
And just try and have our passion show through. And we're working on some cool stuff for the coming year of the site. There's some really exciting stuff. We may have a pretty good one for the anniversary. We're working hard on that. But what we've done every year so far is we have a scoop week. And this year's scoop week will be the 16th through the 20th. And we're going to try and do a new reveal of something from a different company every day. So we're excited about that. We may have some other cool original content. We're trying to do some other interviews and things that I'm really excited about. So that's what I'm sort of gearing up when I'm not chatting with you.
Well, Biff Bang Pow, which I am part of, everyone knows, will be contributing to your anniversary.
Yes.
We'll be giving you a couple of scoops.
You guys have always been very generous.
Well,
on that
thanks.
Too, so
oh, yeah, we're happy to help.
Good stuff.
You get a couple of scoops that no one will have seen or no one will know about.
Oh, I like that.
You'll be getting them.
Intriguing.
Or at least one, for sure.
Okay.
It'll be very cool. So, well, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
7 years. That is your leather anniversary, I think.
It might be. I'd have to look that up.
Is that why you're wearing chaps today?
Yes, that's why. You wore the shorts. I wore the chaps.
The pennies dropped.
Yes.
Makes sense. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
I didn't get you anything, but you'll get a picture of some new stuff we're doing.
I consider that my present.
All right, good.
That's all I need.
All right, good.
Congrats. Well, that's it. That's another hour.
What a great show.
Talking. Yeah.
What a bunch of great info.
Yeah.
I learned lots of stuff today.
And we've got something in the hopper for next week that we didn't get to. It was too beefy to fit in this episode.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
That you were too beefy?
To fit in an episode.
No!
A little lookout!
So yeah, let's wrap this one up.
All right.
Put it in the can.
Good stuff.
And then
take it out of the can, it's done.
Right.
It's warm.
And then next week we'll have a lot more.
A lot more. And there's stuff that we even didn't get to, even that we didn't mention.
That's true, too.
With stuff in my head that we didn't get to.
Ugh,
I never even told you about.
Wow, so I don't even know about it.
You don't even
it.
Know about that
to
stuff.
Me too.
Wait till we get to that.
And there's the possibility that we'll have some more interviews next time, too.
Yes.
Because I am attempting to go to the red carpet premiere of the Comic-Con movie.
Oh, nice.
And get some interviews. So we'll see how that goes. If people will stop for me on the red carpet as I'm yelling. This will be my first kind of red carpet event like that.
Just yell fire when you're ever at a theater event.
I don't think that's going to help.
Just yell fire.
I don't
Everyone
think that's
going
to bring people to me.
Yes.
I think that will scatter them to the wind.
Or free money. Yell free money.
That might work.
And they'll come your way.
Or loads of Coke.
Loads of Coke in the bag.
The Mexican Coke.
You should bring you know, a couple of freebies you got and just start giving away free stuff and that'll get people over to you.
You think the celebrities will come to me then?
Yeah, they love
say,
free
oh,
toys.
Oh, man, I got to have some of that.
What's that Green Lantern thing he's got over there? I
All
want
right,
some of that.
That's a good plan. I'll see if that works.
You know, bring some of the McDonald's Green Lantern toys.
I think we need to work on having a sign out, too, like a catchphrase.
Like a goodbye sort of thing?
Yeah. Hmm. And maybe it can be different every time. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Like Excelsior. Or
well, yeah, like Excelsior, or, you know, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars.
Keep We'll see you in the aisles.
See you in the aisles. That's a good one.
You know, back in two and two.
Right. Or don't be like my brother, like the car guys.
Don't be like my brother?
Yeah.
Don't be like
my brother. Don't drive like my brother. That's what it is. Don't drive like my brother. Don't drive like my brother.
What's that from?
The car guys on NPR. Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
I don't know what that is.
It's because you're too busy at the newsstand. You haven't upgraded to radio technology.
That reminds
yet.
Me. I've got to get to the haberdashery.
That's true.
Let me fix the brim on my fedora.
All right. So that'll be our sign off this week. See ya at the haberdashery.
See ya at the Five and Dime.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys.
Of nature's deepest mystery.